This is Kevin Altieri, director of Batman the Animated Series.
This is best friend of the show, Monica Cabina, artist and colorist on Batman the Adventures Continue.
And this is the DCAU Review,
hosted by Cal and Liam, streaming at DCAUreview.com and on your favorite podcast app.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome, everyone, to another bonus episode of the DCAU Review. I am Liam, and with me, as he always is Cal. Cal, it's another new month, which means another new issue of Batman The Adventures Continue Season 3. And this is, in fact, we are talking this week about Issue 3 of Season 3, which is the first of a three-part episode. That's a lot of threes.
Yes, we are excited as we are back here talking about Crack Up Part 1. And then, of course, is written by Alan Burnett and Paul Dini, a couple of guys you might know. And then back on art, as we'll talk about in just a few moments after we get through the issue review itself, is the dynamic duo making his triumphant return after successfully beating cancer, Mr. Ty Templeton. And then, of course, best friend of the show, Monica Cabina, also back for this issue, as she is every issue, thankfully. And then we have Josh Reed is the letterer. And then Andrew Marino, of course, is the editor. So, yeah, this is an interesting episode. We're just constantly calling these things episodes. Because they feel like episodes, honestly.
I would say, and they call it seasons, which I feel like is adds to our
right, our conundrum here. But we have the return of a character that was introduced, an original Paul Dini character. He loves doing this. He'll create these characters, and then which is great. Like, you don't have to play in the same sandbox with the same two toys or 12 toys every single time. Let's create some new lore. He's got a pretty good track record at creating some characters too. Like, he's pretty well known for some of the original characters that he's created. So I think he's got more than enough leeway here. But we are talking about the origins of the Straight Man, who was introduced, I believe, in season 2. Was it season 2?
Season 1, actually.
Wow, man, time flies. So, all the way back in season 1, he was introduced as a sidekick of sorts, replacing the reformed Harley Quinn to the Joker. And we are about to learn all about just who Straight Man is, or was, perhaps.
That's right. We open our first couple of pages. We actually see Straight Man on the battlefield as a soldier in Afghanistan some years earlier. Him and his Colonel Hazlitt are under fire, and he's able to just barely get out of Dodge, pulling his injured Colonel to safety. We find out that Straight Man was in fact a soldier before he was who he was. And before we can really see any more of these flashbacks, we cut to the present day, where in the midst of apparently some sort of a walking nightmare, Straight Man bursts into the Joker's dressing room, and the Joker is sort of nonplussed as to what exactly is going on. And Straight Man explains that he keeps having these dreams that feel so real to him. And before he can really expound on that, the Joker, of course, distracts him by telling him they have a show to put on. And we have a very fun sequence of panels here. And we'll talk more about this in art, I'm sure. But where the Joker, in the lieu of the ventriloquist and Scarface retiring at the end of our first season of The Adventures Continue, Joker has decided to do his own ventriloquist act, using Straight Man as his puppet. And as we see that he has trapped an audience, locked them in their seats, and pumped laughing gas into the studios while he tells his jokes. And right as this evening of comedy is about to take a more deadly turn, Batman arrives to attack Joker, and then he goes one-on-one with Straight Man once again. And Batman quickly notices that Straight Man seems to be getting stronger than he was in their previous encounters, where he was already pretty tough to deal with, and in fact is kind of has Batman dead to right seemingly. But then we get the entrance of, wouldn't you know it, Task Force X, as teased back in issue one of season three Arise. We have the return of the Muscle along with Katana arriving on the scene to attack. Straight Man has been shot with a diamond tipped dart from several yards away, and as he is woozy, and seemingly the squad and Batman are closing in on Straight Man, the Joker arrives and throws down a few gas grenades to pull him out of dodge. But it's clear that not only is the squad in town, that they clearly have an interest in Straight Man particularly. And as we see in the next couple of pages, Batman and the squad are not the only ones who seem to have an interest in him.
That's right. I was disappointed we didn't get an introduction of, this is Katana. Her sword captures the souls of any people that it kills, as was the case in the Suicide Squad movie.
Classic.
Classic exposition. Yes, that's right. So Batman goes, he's being watched by somebody in a red hood, but nope, it's not that red hood. So just in case you were thinking that we were going to resolve this Jason Todd storyline, it is not. It's very quickly established that this is a female that appears to be watching over Batman and is actually spotted by Batman, but manages to escape on a glider. Batman apparently pays it no mind, goes on his own. We get the appearance of the new Batman Adventures rocket glider thing that he used.
Uh-huh.
What's the name of that thing? Is there a name for that? Bat
jetpack?
Bat jetpack? All right, cool.
Jetwing? It's on the toy.
We should have done our research beforehand. Darn
well,
it.
Next month bonus episode, we'll come back with the name of this jetpack thing that he used.
There you go. Well, Batman is pretty certain that he can figure out exactly where the rest of the Suicide Squad is holed up, and sure enough, he picks the right place, the Institute, and he is greeted by none other than King Shark. We get King Shark making his follow-up appearance to his last appearance in the Batman Adventures the Adventures Continue holiday special, the first holiday special. We saw him there at Harley's party, but he is again part of the Suicide Squad. So we see him there, and then also Captain Boomerang, as well as Floyd Lawton, better known as Deadshot, also appears there. So the whole squad is here, I guess, and that just leaves one person to make an appearance, and that being, of course, their leader, Amanda Waller. So Batman quickly has a little bit of dialogue with the Muscle, a couple of the other members, and then Amanda Waller makes her appearance, and Batman kind of pulls her aside and begins to kind of ask her just why Task Force X is making its appearance. And Amanda Waller tries to say that they're there for the Joker, but Batman isn't buying it. He very quickly dismisses it, and seems to think that they must be there for some other reason. Amanda, of course, is not willing to be forthright with what that reason is, but we kind of get the transition to the next scene as Batman is sort of left scratching his chin, wondering why the Suicide Squad truly is there. We get Batman sort of talking a little bit with Barbara. So Barbara is kind of playing the Oracle role here, as she's done a little bit of information finding, and finds out that she's found out the information of the sort of the true identity behind the Straight Man. And it turns out he was this guy, Captain Carl Finley. And she's able to get some classified information for just who he was. It talks about him being an Eagle Scout and born in California, went to West Point. And Batman let her know that he was also up to date on his bio and didn't need all that information. But we then kind of get into this. He sort of followed the sort of a Captain America type route, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. where he volunteered to be a sort of a super soldier, as it were. And so we get kind of a flashback at that point of him talking about volunteering for this, as he's sort of a follow-up to that first scene that we saw of him interacting with his colonel. And we see him kind of getting pitched the idea of being this next super soldier. And we see the pitch being made to him about being heroic. There's a magazine that features Superman and Wonder Woman on the cover, and this shadowy figure that's trying to pitch him this idea of being the experiment begins to, again, sort of talk to him about the benefits and the things that could come out of this if he volunteers to be this test subject. And it's intriguing enough for him to agree. And we get the reveal of just who the person was. If it wasn't clear enough from his shadowy profile, it was Professor, not Doctor at the time, but Professor Hugo Strange that was making the offer. And this interaction sort of jolts Straight Man awake from his slumber. It turns out we were in the midst of another one of his dreams. He's actually choking the life out of the Joker at that point. Joker, as we'll talk about in a moment, in his nightshirt. I LOL'd. And so he,
come on, Todd, where's our Joker in nightshirt action figure?
Give me a Joker in a nightshirt, please. So yeah, Joker comes over and is trying to console him and says that you know, he must have been having a nightmare, and he wasn't. Joker was actually coming to check on him, and it sounds like that he needs a quote unquote booster shot. So we're not quite sure what that is alluding to, but one can draw conclusions to it. But we transition from there as the Joker prepares to give him this additional shot to help him with these nightmares. And we get the final scene here as Batman is investigating what he believes to be the most recent hideout for the Joker and Straight Man at this Sunshine Hotel.
That's right. So as Batman arrives to check out this hideout, he's accosted by, once again, this hooded figure, this woman she herself also appears to be quite a physical match for Batman, and also clearly has some sort of military training, and makes it clear that she knows Straight Man or knew him before he was Straight Man, and she's trying to not only protect him from the Suicide Squad, from Task Force X and Amanda Waller, but of course wants to get him away from the Joker as well. And as Batman sort of begins to reason with her to try to figure out exactly what her connection is, she simply tells Batman that she doesn't have time to answer those questions and opens fire, sending Batman careening out the window with the gunfire following close after him, as that's our cliffhanger for this part one of this crack up story. We have a lot packed into this issue here. We get the backstory or the beginnings of a backstory for Straight Man. As you said, a sort of common thing that Paul Dini will introduce a character as kind of a one-note side character, seemingly, and then sort of build out their backstory as he goes. And we have another example of that here, seeing that he was this sort of very well-meaning soldier, very heroic guy who was promised that he could do even more, and sort of the pitch made to him that they don't want to have to rely on aliens. I wonder, and this is where we get into my DCAU nerd wish list.
Mm-hmm.
I hope General Hardcastle is showing up in this.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
I hope General Hardcastle is involved in this Hugo Strange Super Soldier program. Because there's a line that Professor Strange mentioned specifically about not wanting to rely on aliens, and I was like, ah, it's a military thing. They're anti superheroes. They want their own, like they want good soldiers with superpowers instead of having to rely on aliens. I'm like, oh, we got to get General Howard Castle in the story. So that's my first bit of speculation and fantasy planning for future issues there. But yeah, we get this sort of look of him and this relationship he had with his Colonel Hazlitt, who would have to be suspect numero uno to who this mysterious woman in the hood is, correct?
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's almost so obvious that it feels like maybe it's not, right? They do like
that.
Aldini does like to do those occasions. I mean, we knew from the beginning that the person in the Red Hood from season one was Jason Todd, the Red Hood, but that was also spoiled by some action figures. So we can chalk that up to that. However, you know, there's some sort of like subversion here occasionally that Paul Dini will do. So is it so obvious? Is he going to make it so obvious that this is clearly that person, a female that has a connection to him that they, you know, would have a vested interest in him that's been in both of these flashbacks? Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. That would certainly, like we said, she's certainly suspect numero uno at the moment for who would be under that hood. But as of now, we'll have to wait and see. You know, as a first chapter here, there's a lot of moving parts. You've got to reestablish the Joker and straight man act, as you will. You gotta introduce Batman to the story. You gotta establish that straight man appears to be getting stronger, and also, as we said, is having these flashes of his former life before he was in the Joker's employ. And then you also have to introduce this version of Task Force X, which certainly shares a few similar roster members to the Justice League Unlimited version, but not completely. So you got a lot of moving parts here. But you know, as a part one, color me intrigued as we go towards a part two and three of this story moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's hard to judge this in a vacuum because it does feel like an abrupt ending. Like I was like, all right, so this is going to be the reveal. I thought the reveal was kind of going to be where we cut off the issue. But the fact that the issue kind of ends with Batman quite literally falling out a window. So we're not quite sure what the next part, you know, where that's going to pick up. But yeah, I was a little bit surprised at how short it felt. I think it's the same amount of pages as a typical issue is, but you know, it's hard to judge it in a vacuum. I think it's a good start. I'm very, very interested to see where the story is going. As we mentioned at the top, it's a three-part story, so we know we're not gonna have a complete resolution at least for two more issues. So yeah, interested to see where it goes. I think it's a good start. I love the ideas we mentioned, kind of filling out this background character or side character that was introduced earlier on in the first season. Now we're finding out who he is, what he is, his origins, all that stuff. So yeah, I'm excited to see what issue two and three of this three-part series brings. I think we'll be able to fully flesh out like a full, hey, I liked this, or hey, I didn't like this, by the time the end of the story is, once we get all three parts together.
Absolutely. And from there, Cal, we will move on to the other part of our review, where we will be talking about the art of the issue. Once again, as you mentioned, the returning Ty Templeton on pencils and inks after triumphing over cancer, where he had to bow out sort of midway through season two of this series. He's back on the docket. And of course, once again, paired up with best friend of the show, Monica Cabina. And, I feel like a little bit of a, you know, Star Wars Episode 7 Chewie, we're home moment when I opened this issue and I saw Ty and Monica back working together again. It's quite comfortable. It's quite familiar, especially once you get into that section, you know, the sections of Batman and the Joker and all of that. But I think kind of a bold idea and a bold visual is to open it in Afghanistan in a war zone. It's a very, like, very unique setting point that we never really see anything like this really touched on in the DCAU. So to see just a completely different type of scenario than we're used to in this like crumbling wall with you know, with these people under heavy fire, people getting shot, and then you know just pulling, straight man literally pulling Colonel Hazlitt out of the fire, out of the line of fire. It's a really dramatic sequence to open up, and it really, I feel like it comes through in the art, but really in those first two pages. I think that's maybe some of my favorite stuff in the issue are these little flashback sequences, as you know, as well as the much more like ridiculous, abstract and trippy stuff when he's sort of envisioning what Professor Strange did to him and things like that. I think some of the flashback stuff actually ends up being some of the stronger stuff in the issue.
Yeah, the transitions from the dreams into the present day or to the real world were done fantastically. You mentioned that Hugo Strange sort of he begins to quite literally melt, and there's just like this super trippy looking hands that sort of almost look like Clayface that melts, and then they transition into this, to him choking the Joker. It's bizarre looking, but it's so done so well. It's like putting on a well-used baseball glove, a well-broken in baseball glove. It just feels right to have the dynamic duo back together. And I starting off the visuals with you wouldn't know that he hadn't been drawing for the last, or at least published drawings for the last year plus, because it doesn't really feel like Mr. Templeton missed a beat. It's it picked right back up where he left off. So tried and true to the original New Batman Adventures looks, and everything fits so well. I love, we get some characters, as we mentioned, that didn't have appearances in the DCAU typically. So, of course we get the Muscle, who's another original character. So we get him, Mr. Templeton, getting his first shot at the Muscle, and then, or I guess mm-hmm. it's his first shot at the Muscle. And then we get, we get Katana and Captain Boomerang, who Captain Boomerang obviously was in the DCAU, but first time here and kind of interacting with this new Batman Adventures, Batman, King Shark. It's great to see Mr. Templeton's continue just like the excellence of his artwork. Like he's continuing to be able to do so at such a high level. And Monica's colors, man, like starting off, we get these real warm, as you mentioned, it's a desert scene. So we get these real desert looking scenes, and then we kind of get this reddish hue for the next scene as they're taking place in this theater. And the colors then kind of shift to this more cold purplish, scene as the Suicide Squad show up, and more red, the blood red skies, lots of reds in this issue, the carpets, the curtains, the red hood of this mysterious assassin.
Mm-hmm.
But then we even get even those reds end up being a little bit more muted, I think, in those than they are. It's not the stark red, things are a little bit cooler. Mm-hmm. I love the shot of Batman driving the Batmobile as he's talking to Barbara. We get this interior shot of him with his hands on the wheel, and he's kind of lit by the glow from the screen that he's talking to Barbara on. And it's incredible. I mean, we're never gonna say something's bad, I think, when it comes to these two. It's just it feels so good. There are some real outstanding specific panels. I think the final panel of Batman falling out the window, I think, is great. The fight mm-hmm. scenes that we have between him and this mysterious hooded individual are strong also. I love the shot of the Joker on the motorcycle. I thought that was particularly strong. I will also point out that we had a little Easter egg here as the Joker's show is taking place at the Simon Trent Theater.
Mm-hmm.
which I thought was a nice nod, nice little Easter egg there. If you're, for those of you who are paying attention, of course, Simon Trent, the actor who played the Grey Ghost. So we get to, a little tribute to Simon Trent there. Gotta love that DCAU continuity. But yeah, it's a big two thumbs up for me as far as the artwork is. It's so good to have these two back working together. Jordan did an incredible job in filling in, and we've talked a lot about how great and how much we love Jordan stuff. Jordan needs to get his own DCAU title at some point, anything, like anything DCAU or DC. We'll take anything. Jordan's a fantastic artist in their own right. And then, you know, we talked about friend of the show, Kevin Altieri's unique but personal take on things last month's issue. But man, this just feels right. Having Ty and Monica back together.
Absolutely. I think the thing that strikes me maybe most about Ty's approach is just, and this isn't I think it's one of those things that it differentiates him. It doesn't necessarily make it a bad or a good thing or a good or a bad thing. It's just he tends to fill the page with a lot of panels. Like he has a very like sort of sequential storytelling on an individual page. Like you're not getting big, you know, you're not really getting like big flashy splash pages or even like, you know, half splash pages here. It's very like a lot of, there's no wasted space, so to speak, where, and I think that kind of sets Ty's art apart from some of our other artists that we've had over these three seasons of The Adventures Continue, and seeing that and how many unique sort of poses and you see more of the action of these fights, the sort of a four panel sequence of Batman sort of going toe to toe with Straight Man when they're in the club, and it's just him laying in these punches with the, you know, with the sound effects against great job by the letterer Josh Reed on this issue. And you get this, you know, the stark red background as Batman's laying in these punches, and then he's sort of just standing there and Straight Man sort of smirking down at him, and the red background maybe gets just a touch, just a shade darker as things look a little bit more ominous. And then again, we have the next page of Batman again, sort of sequential panels, pulling out the batarang, throwing the batarang past Straight Man's head. And then you see it snap the cables as it's dropping the piece of the set down on him. So yeah, I think that's the thing that stood out to me the most about what maybe other than just sort of the very classic new Batman adventure style, that Ty Templeton has been, you know, the DCAU style that Ty Templeton has been so great at adapting over his career is probably more sequential storytelling on each individual page, especially in the action. I think that really stuck out to me. And then I love the page where Joker throws down the grenades and there's just this giant you know, flash of purple gas, and then Joker and Straight Man get away on the Joker cycle.
Uh-huh.
And complete with sidecar, and you know, we get these, you know, the pages sort of bordered with you know, the green Haas.
Mm-hmm.
Up and down the page as his laughter is sort of filling the air, so to speak. And then I think that's a fun sequence. And then yes, the red hooded mystery woman standing out, as you said, kind of making her stand out against the red sky, I'm sure was probably a unique challenge as far as shading goes. And as we've said previously, we will definitely do our best to get Monica on this season, her schedule permitting. So hopefully we can talk to her a little bit more about her specific approaches, especially now that she's worked with three different artists this season so far. I think we'll have a lot to talk about with her and everything there. But yeah, I thought this was a lot of fun, and so, like I said, it's a lot of moving parts, a lot of new characters, as you mentioned, a lot of characters we've never seen in this world, at least, or in this comic book world before. DCAU Katana, I'm not sure if there's a reason why they didn't use her, but there's sort of a villainous version of her that's used in Justice League. Sakuri, who's like it's in Fury, right? She's on like the evil ladies team,
I believe so.
In in that episode. So I'm not sure if it was just because, well, they made her a villain and DC didn't want them to use her as a villain or what, but this is, to my knowledge, the first DCAU appearance of Katana as well. So kind of fun to see her and very much in her classic like 70s John Ostrander outsiders outfit too, the red and the yellow of that suit as well. So very fun issue with a lot of familiar faces and also some new characters worked in as well. So unsurprisingly, great to have, as you coined them, the dynamic duo of Ty Templeton and Monica Kubina back working on the art for this month, Cal. As we move towards the end of our episode here, I guess other than the reveal of this mystery hooded woman and my deep desire for General Hardcastle of all characters to appear, what are we feeling as far as what are we getting for part two? Just more flashbacks, and is it some big cover up? Was Waller maybe directly involved in this? Will we see the words Cadmus in a word balloon at some point? Will they try to tie this more directly to the JLU stuff? How are you feeling going forward here as we get into our patented baseless speculation section of the show?
Well, as we know, TMCR, by the way, for baseless speculation. But as we know, the writers, Mr. Deeney and Mr. Burnett, have made it very clear that they have written this as if there was another season of Batman, the animated series, or the new Batman Adventures. So they've shown a few times that they're not really as concerned about continuity per se, as fitting things in and timelines and all that stuff. They've kind of winked and nodded at a couple of different things. We had Lex way back in issue one. We had Lex in his green Lex Luthor suit. So we do know that they're not afraid to use some of that other Justice League stuff or other DCAU stuff, despite the fact that it might not line up time-wise. So yeah, I could see them. I mean, if we're using Amanda Waller, what are we doing here? Especially if we're planning on a couple of additional seasons, as it seems they at least Paul and Alan in interviews have left the door open, and as they were asked about kind of wrapping up the Red Hood storyline and all that stuff, looking at a seasons down the road. So it seems like the plan is to kind of continue along here for the foreseeable future. So why would you not try and introduce some of that stuff for fun? It's recognizable, it's easily associated with the Amanda Waller character. Do I think that we'll maybe we'll see mentions of it? I don't think that we'll get things that are directly tied to or point to and say, "Oh yeah, that makes sense," because Justice League, you're not, I don't think we'll have too many of those moments, if any, just because with the already pre-established lack of desire to try and work around pre-established timelines and such. But I think we get the reveal. I'm gonna go with it's got to be a swerve. It has to be
Okay.
something as far as the reveal of who this person is. I'm gonna toss my hat in the ring and say it's so blatantly obvious that it's this person. It can't be. It absolutely can't be this person. But we'll see. She does have the same color eyes. If you look at the color of the eyes of the person in the first scene to the ones that are in the last scene, they do match. But I think just for fun, I'm gonna say it's gonna be a swerve of some kind.
Okay, I like that. I'll go with a slightly different prediction, which is that it is this Colonel Haslett that we saw from Straight Man's past, but she has some sort of like physical injury or damage from, because as it says, it appears that Strange was trying to recruit both of them. So perhaps she also went through this super soldier program, and she perhaps has some sort of physical, more physical scars that she's covering up with the hood, perhaps. Maybe it's sort of a Phantom of the Opera type thing going on here. So that's my prediction. Because yes, it is just an interesting choice. Because yes, it certainly appears, but it's kept a mystery not only to Batman, but it's also not revealed to the audience just yet. So if there is a greater reveal coming by concealing her concealing her face and concealing her, you know, and concealing her identity. I'll be curious to see what that is and whether or not we'll get that reveal in part two of this story. Issue 4 of Batman the Adventures Continue season 3. We'll be back next month to talk about that. Ty and Monica once again on art duties for that issue. And a final note here, I will just mention that the cover artist for this month's issue was none other than Baltimore Rivas or Rivas. Apologies if I'm butchering that pronunciation, but I thought a really fun cover with sort of straight, sort of representing that fight between Batman and straight man that we get in the issue, but with the sort of giant funhouse Joker face in the background and the sort of the crazy multicolored eyes in there. I thought a tremendous cover. Definitely one that if you saw this, if you're a kid and you saw this on the comic book shelves, I think this is one that gets your attention. So great job by everybody involved this month. Definitely excited to come back and see what happens in part two of this story. In the meantime, thank you everybody for listening. If you have your own theories and your own thoughts on this issue, where you think the story could be going, just what you thought of this character, do you want to see more straight man's life fleshed out over these next couple issues, or do you want to see more of the present day stuff? Would love to hear from you. You can tweet us or comment on our Instagram posts at DCAU review on both sites. You can also send us a private message if you prefer to share your thoughts in more in depth or more in private. We'd love to hear from you at DCAU review once again. And we thank you for listening, whether you do so on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and or of course the Pod Tower YouTube channel. One note, if you do listen to us on Spotify, we always do an exclusive poll question for our Spotify listeners. So you can always check that out and interact with us that way as well. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can head to dcaureview.com, and we have a store there. You can grab yourself a hat or a mug or a sticker or something like that. And if you also like to support us more directly, there is a donation link in the show notes. We do appreciate those few of you that go out of your way to buy us a coffee every month or so. We always appreciate that. But however you support the show, a good way to do that, as mentioned, is just to subscribe to the show. Leave us a review. Give us 5 stars on your app of choice. We appreciate it. And Cal, I'm excited to. I'm already ready for issue 4, as we look deeper into the backstory of Straight Man and this tangled web involving Task Force Sex and Batman and Hugo Strange and of course it's never easy with the Joker, so it's going to get even more complicated from here on out.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. Regardless of what we base our speculation on, I think it's fair to assume that there's going to be more trouble ahead for the Dark Knight and perhaps any of his those involved in the Bat family.
Absolutely, can't wait to check that issue out next month, and we'll be back to talk about it the weekend after it comes out, as always. But thank you everyone for listening, and until the next time, I'm Liam.
And I'm Cal.
And we'll talk to you soon on another episode of the DCAU Review.
Bye-bye now.